That means as Islamic people, they defied the government, and that's how they were put in prison. But others also were, in that sense, political. They're also victims of the political system. So our masjid is very concerned about helping prisoners. And we write letters of support to people. And if you want to write letters of support, let me know, and I will give you their addresses. Or if you have addresses already, you can write to them. Just political prisoners, prisoners at large, they're very important. Sister, can you hear me at the back? Now, because we live in a society which is un-Islamic or even anti-Islamic, it is not possible that we will not be affected by that society, either positively or negatively. Positively, we will want to do better than that society. Negatively, we might pick up some of their ways of thinking and then mistreat our brothers and sisters, just like they mistreat brothers and sisters. So it's a very big question mark, how to live in this society. That is why our masjid requires our leadership values and outgoing ways of giving the message. This country is also creating conflict between Muslims. It wants to, has always wanted to make Muslims fight each other and to emphasize their differences and to make them stand up against each other and even recruit Muslims into the military, which they send to various Muslim countries to oppress the people over there. And sometimes those young men and now women also have no choice other than to get a job in the military. So they end up killing Muslims over there or getting killed themselves. So it's a very negative policy which this country has towards oppressed people in general and Muslims in particular, to divide them. Also, you can see with the masjids, see, our masjid invites people of all schools of thought, Islamic thought, if they accept the finality of the prophethood. If they don't come up with weird ideas that there was any prophet after Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are welcome to come over here. Whether they are Shafi'i or Maliki or Hanbali or Hanafi, they are welcome, or Ahli Hadith. They're welcome over here. Now, one of the two things we should remember about these four schools of thought, especially Ahli Hadith is relatively new, that when the Mongols, sort of like imperialism today, America and Russia, when the Mongols came and attacked Muslims and they destroyed Baghdad, which was the center of Muslim knowledge and culture. It had libraries, it had mosques, it had scholars, all of them were debating like Muslims do today, debating, discussing fiqh and related issues. So when the Mongols came, they just swept in and destroyed all of Baghdad, terrorized the whole population, killed hundreds and thousands of people, and there was hardly any defense against them. They were just killed. Just killed. So we should remember that with the destruction of Baghdad, there was a big vacuum in the Muslim world. It seemed as if the Muslims had been defeated. But then arose some other great scholars who organized and urged the Muslims to fight back. And they also have a bad name nowadays. People think that they were extremists. And anyone this country doesn't like, they try to give them a bad name and try to tell the Muslims that those people are not good. Among the great scholars was Ibn Taymiyyah, who not only urged the Muslims to fight back against the Mongols, although he was a great scholar, he also went into the battlefield himself to fight against the Mongols and drove them back. Then later on, because there were so many superstitions, this was the reason for the Muslims going down, that they had many, many superstitions. So that along came Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab from Arabia. Now the enemies of the Muslims, they have made Wahhabi into a bad name. Wahhab is actually the name, one of the names of Allah Almighty. And the scholar's name was not Wahhabi. There's no one whose name is Wahhabi. His name was Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. They have made that into a bad name. They don't tell people that he was teaching Tawheed, which is the central value of Islam. Without Tawheed, you cannot have Islam. Then other scholars came who also tried to awaken the Muslims. You have people like Allama Iqbal. In his poetry, he pointed out that the love of the Prophet also means that you fight back. If you love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it does not mean that you just keep saying, I love the Prophet Muhammad. You also have to act the way he did, which is to fight back. Allama Iqbal. Then the Muslims' new generations, to some extent is still true, were being attracted by the Western powers. Now, the Western powers were scientifically more organized, and they had educated people, and among the Muslims they had people who would follow them. So along came Maulana Maududi. He taught people to realize, now this is his famous phrase, now it has become very common in the Muslim world, Islam is a complete way of life. You can't say Islam is only for doing prayers, or only for fasting, or doing dhikr, or no politics, brother. No, people will not like us if we have politics. No, it has to be a complete way of life. Dakhalu fi silm kaffa, Surah Al-Baqarah. Enter into the deen completely and fully. That was Maulana Maududi. Going to his writings, and there was of Allama Iqbal and Muhammad Ali Jinnah, then we have Pakistan, a country dedicated to making Islam a reality. But again, it has enemies who always try to find fault and point out any bad thing which happens, that this is happening in Pakistan, and making them fight each other, so much so that a part of them separated. So this divide and rule, think about America, how they're making us divide and rule. We have mosques here, masjids. People of only one segment go to that masjid. Another segment goes to the other masjid. The immigrants, they go to this masjid. And other immigrants, they have Pakistani masjid, you know, Arab masjid, African-American masjid, you know, sectarianism. All this is not allowed in Islam. We are divided because we follow our enemies. They tell us what they think is right, and we accept. So, dear brothers and sisters, after that came the jihad leaders. In Muslim communities, you cannot even mention their name. That the blind sheikh in Egypt, he told the Muslims that, he's a very great reciter of the Quran, that fighting back, jihad, is a personal responsibility, not a collective person. If the Muslims are being invaded and attacked, it is a duty of every Muslim to fight back and not wait for some collective to do it. Because their enemies again were saying, oh, you have to have a Khalifa. So when the Khalifa came, they bombed him into destruction. So the jihad leaders. The point I'm making is, that the Muslims are slowly, gradually coming back to the Quran and authentic hadith and the life of the Sahaba and the Tabi'in. So you have slow but steady improvement in the Muslim world. We are not going down. The enemies tell us we are going down. Everywhere they are beating us and killing us. No, but we are not going down. The United States, the most powerful country in the world, has been forced to withdraw from Afghanistan. It's one of the poorest countries in the world. The son is withdrawing and doesn't know how to withdraw. Because it will leave behind, it will have to leave behind all its weapons. In Africa, we had Imam Usman Don Fadio, going to whose teachings? Islam had already been spreading, but it was organized. The students of Bilal, may Allah be pleased with him, one of the Sahaba, one of the greatest Sahaba of the Prophet, when his students went to West Africa. As West Africa is now almost all Muslim. So there is a slow and steady improvement. We are still not able to fight the real enemies of Islam, but gradually we are getting to do it. Especially at the educational level, we have to do that, inshallah. So dear brothers and sisters, today is the day for one of the great victories of Islam in Turkey. The Grand Masjid of Turkey, Hagia Sophia. The enemies of the Muslims, they had planted a tyrant in Turkey for many years. I don't even want to name him, a very dirty man. He was a blatant secularist. And he took this very big masjid, that's the biggest masjid in Turkey, and turned it into a museum, where Jews and Christians can also come. That went on for 86 years. But today, that masjid has been reopened for prayers. It is a great victory of Islam. The Pope is speaking against it. Can you imagine the Pope speaking against what they have destroyed, so many of our masjids, and never said anything? Today he's speaking against this. But the Muslim world is supporting Turkey. Also stopped the advance of the tyrant in Syria. So dear brothers, this is a very great day for Muslims. Many Muslims don't even know what is happening. That this grand mosque, one of the most biggest and beautiful mosques in the world, is today an Islamic mosque again. The dictator who did all that, who turned it into a museum, he is dead. And people now throw their curses on it. So it's a great day. But do we know about it? Do we celebrate? No. We hear only the bad news coming to us through the media of our enemies. So dear brothers and sisters, we really have to become more cognizant of what our enemies are doing, and defeat them at every level. See how very nicely the Black Lives Matter movement spread all over the country? But now it's being taken over by people who are part of the establishment. Not completely, but they're taking it over city by city. The mayor of the biggest city, New York, he says, I love Black Lives Matter. Well, what were you doing for all those years when you were not loving Black Lives Matter? They are very clever. They co-opt. See, I won't be surprised if Trump says tomorrow that he loves Black Lives Matter. They are liars and hypocrites. And they are trying to take over again. And the mayor of Minneapolis, it might surprise you, where all this uprising began, with the murder of Floyd, he claims he's Jewish and he's making it as difficult as possible for the demonstrators to unite. So we have to be aware not to be going by labels, but to see who is doing what and where is he or she coming from. So may Allah forgive our sins and our shortcomings, and inshallah this masjid will be a spear point for people who want to do the right thing. Amen.